So, first of all, first question right off the bat. How do you pronounce the planet that starts with the letter U? How do you say
Uranus?
it? Right. Well, I don't know if that's right. I think some people say Uranus and some people say Uranus.
Oh,
But
fancy.
I ask that question. It's very important because, as I mentioned, I don't remember, a couple of podcasts ago, or maybe I've mentioned it a few times, my son and I just did a 6-month step challenge. So for the end of the step challenge, even though he got a prize, I still wanted to present him with a medal. We talked about doing like closing ceremonies, you know. I didn't do anything crazy. I did play the Olympic music and I bestowed the medal on him. And the medal said, "Keep Uranus moving." And it was like the planet. When I say my 10-year-old laughed so hard, it
Oh
was so
my
worth it. He
gosh.
got such a kick out of that medal.
Oh my gosh, that's so stinking cute.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Christina, and this is the Full Cup Club podcast.
We're here to talk through the good, the bad, and the ugly of loss, whether that's losing a loved one, a job, a dream, or even your marbles.
So whether your cup has coffee, tea, or vodka in it, welcome to the Full Cup Club. Okay, friends, on today's episode, we're talking about taking care of yourself after you lose your person or a loved
It's
one. You know,
important.
you've got a million other things, yeah, that you're taking care of, but don't forget yourself.
I think a lot of people get overwhelmed, and it's just easy to just forget to take care of yourself when you're having to deal with all this other stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But don't do that.
Don't do that. But first, Megan, what's in your cup today?
Today I have fizzy water again in my can cooler because it's approximately 14,000 degrees outside. And I have peach Waterloo, which I have had before. I think I had it on the last episode. It's so good. This is my last
Oh.
one. I'm almost done with the whole box. I really like it. 10 out of 10 recommend peach flavored Waterloo. What are you drinking today?
Okay. Today, so last episode, in episode 21, I talked about my mug that I got from Zen Pottery. And I don't know about you, but I love when a business, a small business, sends you your product and it's beautifully wrapped. And they also send you some other little additional gifts. So with that came this little bag of tea from a company called Well Rooted Tea, and it is relief tea. So it's for allergies. So it's got like nettle and peppermint and honey flakes and stuff like that. So
Do you find that it helps with your allergies?
I just started. I don't have allergies, but I have had a cold, and so I was like, well, it'll make me feel like maybe it'll make a difference, but
As a longtime allergy sufferer, I have never found that you hear people talk about eating raw honey from your local area.
local. Yes.
That has not helped me. Nettle has never helped me. So I just want to let you know, if you're out there and you've tried all these things and they haven't worked, me neither.
You just need to move to some other region of the US where, yeah, you're like, just pick up a move. I'm always just fascinated with people that just they have no forethought of like, well, just pick up and
Yeah,
move.
I
Like, if that's
can't.
an issue, and you're like, yeah, because I'm a millionaire and I can just completely abandon my community and
Yeah.
move somewhere else where I have no support system. Sure. Thank you for that advice.
I tried a neti pot too. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I
Okay,
have.
so I tried and it didn't
How did it go?
work. Like the wa so a neti pot is like, it's like a little pot and you kind of tilt your head and you pour the water in, like up one nostril. It's supposed to come out the other
Yes.
one.
It
Okay,
does.
well,
Yes,
for
ma'am.
you. So for me,
It come out your
it
ear?
just like either would go down the back of my throat
Oh,
or
gosh.
just come out the same nostril. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I tried like tilting my head more, tilting the pot. I tried every angle. I'm like upside down doing somersaults, trying to get the neti pot to work, and it's not working. So I have my annual doctor visit shortly after that, a couple weeks after that. And I asked my doctor, hey, like, I have these allergies. Can I talk to an allergist or whatever? I tried to do a neti pot. It didn't work. And, you know, I was just telling him all the things that I've tried. And he looked up my nose. He was like, you have thick nose walls. And that's a common sign of allergy sufferers. It's just, like, so inflamed that the space between where it would, like, connect to the other nostril, it's closed off. Nothing can get through.
Interesting.
So that's why the neti pot didn't work.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I was broken.
Oh, man. That's a bummer. Like, swollen. Wow. Ouchie.
I mean, it's not painful. It's just, you know.
It's just annoying.
It's, like, full. And that's what I've said before. It always just feels very full. It feels like the inside of my face is itchy. And you can't scratch it because it's the inside.
Oh, my goodness. So on today's episode, we're talking about after you lose your person or maybe your parent or something like that, sometimes we have a tendency to, we're taking care of all of the people that are around us. We have kids. We have family members, we're taking care of all of these things, and sometimes we can forget to take care of ourselves. And we've talked about self-care, but this is at a different level. This is health care that we want to talk about, that we want to encourage you to remember to take care of those bigger things. And so we want to remind you of some of those milestone things, and hopefully we're going to make you laugh today, because we're going to talk about, Megan, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, first,
we're excited.
I want to comment on getting your annual exams, you know? So,
yes.
Every 3 to 5 years, women are supposed to get a pap smear. The 3 to 5 depends on your age and everything.
If you go to the cancer.org, they give you a list of all of the things that you need to...
Oh, good. Like all of the different things you should screen for?
All the age at each age. So cervical cancer is between the ages of 25 and 39 is when you should start having that done to screen for cervical cancer. When you are 40 to 49, you need to be screened for breast cancer, cervical cancer. And at 45, you need to start being screened for colorectal cancer.
Okay. So is that a colonoscopy, like an annual colonoscopy or something?
Yes, yes. And then also, according to them, if you are African American and you are somebody who is born with a prostate, at age 45, you should start being checked, having a prostate exam. So they have a full list on their site. It's a great site. I know we used it in college as a reference, the American Cancer Society, some of the stuff, and explains, it does a really nice job of explaining some of the things about cancer. So hit that up.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes.
Friends, what we really want to make sure is that you don't die of embarrassment.
Oh my goodness,
some people are so embarrassed. They don't want to go have this stuff done because it's like, oh, they're going to stick a camera up my butt. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Like, friends, you know how hard it is. Like, we're just going to say it. Like, you know how hard it is to lose a person. Like, you know, if you get to do some preventative care and you can, you know, keep your loved ones from having to go through that again. Don't die of embarrassment.
Yes. I love how you put
don't
that.
Do it.
Yes, exactly. And the people that do these exams, they see so many butts. They see so many nethers. They are just, they're not, they don't care what yours looks like. They're professionals. Yeah. They're just in there to, you know, make sure everything's good.
Yes.
And then they close you back up.
Yeah. Send you on your merry way. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I recently, you know, in doing all of this and taking care of myself, I got a mammogram. So my mom died of breast cancer in her late 30s. So I am supposed to start, or I was supposed to start screening for that in my late 20s. So every year since my late 20s, I have gone to get a mammogram. I think the age that the average person, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the age that the average woman is supposed to start getting annual mammograms, I think is 35 or 40, something like that.
Yeah, because this is saying, I believe it's 40. And the American Cancer Society, it says 40 to 49 is when. And I believe I was about 40 when I had mine. That seems about right. My first one was about 40, age 40.
Yeah.
Because I'm 47 and yeah. I've had several.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so I had a mammogram last week and I was just thinking, you know, I didn't have a lot of, you know, input on what a mammogram was like. I didn't know what to expect mm-hmm. for my first one. My mom died. Like, that's the person who mm-hmm. tells you this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect. And I went into it being really nervous because all I heard was people complaining how much it yes. hurt, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm like, oh my God, they're just going to like smash into a million pieces. Yeah. They're just going to be obliterated. Yeah. Like I'm going to get steamrolled, you know, because I didn't know what to expect. So now having several mammograms, and you have also had several mammograms.
Yes.
If we are talking to yes. somebody who is hesitant to go get a mammogram, I thought we should talk about things that hurt worse than getting a mammogram.
Yeah, definitely. I've had several of them. And, you know, you and I were chatting the other day and I was saying, I have written posts on Facebook after I've had mammograms because here's the deal. I want my friends to know that, like, when you're growing up, people around you, it's the loudest voices that you hear mm-hmm. as a kid growing up. And you kind of remember those things where your aunts are like, oh, I have to go have a mammogram.
Yeah.
You know, type thing.
Or like
thing.
On TV. And just, I feel like I remember exactly. seeing people on TV being nervous.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so you get that in your head. And I'm like, you know what? I did not have that experience. I had a very positive there are things that are far worse than having a mammogram. And so I was like, I want people to know, because what was really surprising to me, and I wish I could remember the percentage, but it was mind blowing how many women, they will call and schedule mammograms. Like every year I get a call, they say, hey, it's time for your mammogram. And so we schedule it right there on the phone. Grace over at Sutter Coast, she calls me and Grace schedules the appointment and I go in. And they told me when I got there one time, it was an insane percentage of people who never show up to their mammogram appointments. And I thought, this is crazy. It's because they're nervous is what I was told.
Wow.
And so every year when I have it done, I scream it to the rooftops, friends, you know, go have your mammograms mm-hmm. done. And for me, the reason that when I have a mammogram done, I do it because I want to honor the women and even men who have gone through breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have what I call my Carol, which is my ex-husband's mother. She went through breast cancer and I think of her when I schedule it and I go because I want to honor what she went through right. by making sure and taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. My best friend from high school, Cassandra, like she went through the same thing. And so I think of those people and I'm like, I don't want other people to believe that this is something terrible
mm-hmm.
because there are far worse things.
I've had worse pain today yeah. than a mammogram.
Yes. I have a hangnail, people, right now. I have a freaking hangnail. Mm-hmm. I have several of them. And my cuticles hurt so bad. And that is a far worse and more annoying.
So much worse.
Than
a paper cut.
Yes.
A paper cut is worse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Have you ever gotten a paper cut, like, in the between between your
in
fingers?
In the webs of your fingers. Yes.
So much worse than the pain from a mammogram.
And you know what's worse than just a regular paper cut? Have you ever opened a plastic, like, toy for your kid
yes.
that thick and you, oh my gosh.
Why do you have to have, like, CIA level clearance to get some kids' toys out of the packaging?
I wonder that. I'm just like, this is insane mm-hmm. and it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You need like a can opener for yeah. those suckers. I don't know, man.
I feel like, you know, once you hit your 30s, the just regular like back or neck pain you sometimes wake up with is worse than a
yes.
mammogram.
Oh my gosh. Because then all day you're like, your neck, you got a kink in your
yeah.
neck, and then you're just miserable. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's all day. That's not even like a mammogram might take 15?
Tops.
I don't even know that it takes 15 minutes.
So I just went, and they take four pictures, and I call them pictures, but it is a picture, but it's like kind of in a machine.
Yeah, it's like four different views.
Yeah, so they do four different ones. Mm-hmm. You are not supposed to wear deodorant, lotion, perfume, etc. None of that.
Right,
and
right.
They give you this cool cape to put on. So it only covers the top half of you. So don't wear a dress. Like, wear shorts or pants or something.
Oh my gosh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, so your whole situation is going to be out. Like, let's avoid that. They give you a little cape. So you take off your shirt and your bra, give you a little cape, and then you go back to, it's like kind of like an x-ray machine. And there's a person in there that will like position you just right, you know? So she will take your boob, put it where she needs to see it. I say she, there are probably male mammogram technicians.
I've never seen one.
I've always had a woman. But she, one thing she said to me, she was like, this is clearly not your first time, because you let me position you, you know? I was like, yeah, just go, whatever.
Not your first rodeo.
Yeah, whatever you need to do. Like, I'm not here to miss a spot, you know? I want you to see everything you need to see. Mm-hmm. So you are the expert here.
Yes.
I just brought the fun.
You just brought the fun back. You brought the party.
That was a compliment she gave me. So I just wanted to pass that along. When you go get a mammogram, let them do their job. They're professionals. Let them put you where you need to go. It's going to be mild pressure. I'm serious when I say a hangnail is worse than a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
Mild discomfort. But that way, if they put you where you need to be, they're so much more likely to see everything they need to see to do these screenings effectively. So,
One of the things I saw from some ladies called the booby doctors on TikTok. So if you want to go follow along on there, they were running through a lot of what Megan just explained that you go through. But I love that they added this one little extra thing. They said, if this is your first or maybe even first couple times of having a mammogram, you're highly likely to be called back to have another one because they need additional views because they have nothing to compare it to. Mm-hmm. So let's say, and I had this happen several times in the beginning where that they'd have me come in and they're like, okay, we need to do an ultrasound because we see this. So don't freak out. It's very common in your first few times. And I wish I would have known that. I mean, I just barely found that out today and I've had like 7 mammograms in my life. So if you get called back, that is very normal. That's happened to me several times. So, you know, don't panic.
Yeah.
That's normal. So what are some other things that you think of that are worse than or more uncomfortable?
Something that is more uncomfortable than getting a mammogram. Have you ever bit into like an ice cream cone or a ice cream bar and got that like that sensitivity in your front teeth?
Mm-hmm.
That's worse than a mammogram.
Yes.
Or worse pain-wise.
Okay, so on my list, when you said biting into, I don't know. Not everyone is able to breastfeed, but if you've ever had a toddler bite your nipple when you're breastfeeding, that is worse.
I feel like just general nipple wear and tear while you're breastfeeding is worse. Just like the dryness,
I mean, you're like, you have this like thing that you love that's biting. Like drawing blood and you're just like you don't know what to do because it's not like you can. And then of course you scream and then it scares the child and they're crying and so that I think being bitten by a toddler actually just being bitten by a baby with teeth that is nursing is like worse than having a mammogram. So there we go.
A sunburn. Having a sunburn is more uncomfortable than having a mammogram.
Mm-hmm, watching Caillou episodes. That's worse than having.
Oh my gosh. My son, when he was little, Caillou was popular. And I was like, no, we are not watching that show. Caillou is too whiny. And so my little like 3-year-old son, he was like, nope, Caillou's too whiny. We can't watch it.
I love it.
So even now, you're just he remembers. Oh my gosh, though. Seriously, I would get a mammogram every single day if the alternative was having to watch Caillou.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Along the same lines, when your kid is telling you a story and it just never ends, they just never get to the point.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh man. Yes. If your child, if you are somebody who has experienced a child explaining to you Minecraft, Legends of Zelda, any sort of game like that, you know. And like, if you can handle that, you can handle the discomfort of a 15-minute mammogram.
100%.
I think another one that is like a long term, it's just like a, like, how do I put this? It's like long term suffering. Is like, do you ever get an inflamed taste bud?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is like, I mean, that's far worse than 15 minutes of discomfort. Yeah.
I always want to bite them off, but that's worse.
Yeah. When I was little, I would try to do that, like thinking you can't pull them
out.
Nope.
Yeah, they just get so much worse. Speaking of inflammation in your face, allergies. Just having seasonal allergies is so much worse. Yeah. So much more uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because it's longer term.
Yes.
And like I mentioned earlier, the inside of your face is itchy. Like, I don't know how to scratch the underside of my skin.
I hear you. I like when your ears get itchy and you're just like, you're just like, put your fingers on them and you're just like wiggling your hands back and forth trying to get, When I think of going to have a mammogram, I think like people talk about how your boobs are getting squished. Mm-hmm. And I think of the pressure and I think of a couple of things. Uh-huh. So one is going to a wedding or somewhere and you're wearing a formal and you have to wear Spanx.
As soon as you said pressure, I was like, oh my gosh, wearing Spanx is so much worse.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so much worse than that pressure
like
of Abby.
If you wear a bra most of the time, you're already more uncomfortable than you would be having a mammogram.
100% true. I love that, like, people probably won't get this, but my husband had to wear a vest to work all the time, and he tried to tell me once that wearing a vest was worse than wearing a bra.
Oh my gosh, he's so cute.
All the time. And I was, I know. And I was like, I will ask the female officers you work with. And they were just like, they didn't even have words. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, we're not even going to comment on this. The other one I was thinking of is wearing high heels. Mm. Like, if you can wear high heels all day, I mean, like, all of this stuff is like, man, we torture ourselves a lot as women.
That's the whole point, though. I mean, like, all of these things we already do are more uncomfortable than having a mammogram. So just go do it. Just go get the mammogram.
Yeah, just go have it.
You're already more uncomfortable. Probably sitting here right now listening to this podcast. You are probably already in more discomfort than a mammogram would cause.
Oh my gosh. So a couple other ones that I were thinking, pain level, like how you thought about things that you've done. You have subjected yourself to this pain on purpose that is far more, like, you paid somebody for this pain. What have you done that you have paid for pain? That is far.
Getting a tattoo. 100%.
Yes, ma'am.
Or a piercing, even. A piercing is a shorter amount of time because it's like one hole. But it's that amount of time is more painful than the pain you receive in a mammogram, number one. But number two, if you ever have anything like that get infected, so much worse. I had a piercing get infected once. It was awful.
I think of like waxing. Having another region's
waxed. If you've ever had anything waxed, but particularly your nethers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we pay for this, people. We pay for this, and it's far less painful than.
Mm-hmm. And you go on purpose. What about, I've never gotten any, like, fillers or Botox or anything like that. I know you've gotten Botox.
Yes, ma'am. It's on my list. It's on my list. I had Botox for the first time a few months ago. I'm going to get it again on Monday. And that is at the top of my list. That is far. Here's the funny thing. If you have ever, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're somebody who's debated about getting Botox because you're like, well, my physician has said it will help with migraines, but I don't know. That sounds awful. The needle's so tiny. It is not painful, but it is. If you're somebody who's like, I have Botox, but I'm so afraid of a mammogram. Oh my gosh. Get a grip.
Yeah. It is goodness. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. Totally good.
I feel like if you've ever plucked a hair out of your face, that is more painful. Like, remember yes. tweezing your eyebrows? Like, in the 90s yes. particularly, like, we'd really get them really
yes,
thin.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I have to pluck my one black chin hair once every couple of weeks.
That is not something. Can we pause for a second and talk about if you are 30 years old, if you're listening to this and you're 30 years old, maybe even 32, friend, I just want to tell you, you need to get in some really good light and with a magnifying mirror and some tweezers because my friends, you might not believe it, but you need to look under your chin. You just do.
Why is
just,
it
we're going to be your friends right now.
I have blonde super fine hair, but I will have one chin hair pop up and I pluck it every time. So it takes some time to grow back. So it really is like every couple of weeks. It's this one chin hair and it's black and it's coarse. It's like rope. Like it's so thick.
Well, like, do you feel like, I mean, is there somebody designated? Like a friend, do you have a friend designated that if something were to happen to you, you're in a coma, long-term coma, or you're like,
your designated
whatever.
Chin plucker.
Yes, yes. Like, I'm going to need you to come in, sneak my waxing person in or some tweezers or something and take care of this, like, situation. Yes, you don't believe that it's there. You think, no, ladies. Like, I am 32 and I am precious. I do not know. We are being your friends. We are being your big sisters
you're
right
welcome.
Now. Go find. Yes. Go do it right now. That's what I have to say. Also, speaking of tweezing, like even worse is when you're being waxed and they miss a couple of hairs and then you're already like so like, oh dear Jesus, please let this be over. And then they come at you with the tweezers and you're just like,
I've been through enough.
I don't care. Leave me in peace. Just let it be over.
Laser hair removal. Have you had that?
Oh, I haven't had that.
I went for a couple of sessions and then the pandemic happened and I never went back. So I actually did not get any hair removed because it takes a few sessions.
Oh, man.
But that was more painful than...
Thanks, Rona.
...than a mammogram. Yeah, I guess I could. I guess I could go back now, but I haven't.
I was thinking of one that other people will not quite understand, but maybe they will. So I have mini pigs. And when I was in high school, I took drafting classes. So you're learning about architecture. And one of the things I remember is the pounds per pressure that like a woman, that if a woman steps on you with her high heel shoe, the pounds of pressure that that point has on it are amazing. Like it's an incredible amount of pressure. Friends, the same thing happens when a mini pig that is 100 pounds steps on your foot. That, yes, that is far more painful than your boob being.
That, I feel like that's relatable to, I have a dog and a cat. And so if I'm laying on the couch or my bed, they'll get up on me. And so sometimes when they press down, if like most of their weight is on that one paw, I'll feel that kind of what you're talking about, that pressure like coming through that one paw. So yeah, I have to have to relocate them. But yes, that is more uncomfortable than getting a mammogram.
Yeah.
And I feel like if the concern is not necessarily the pain, because we've gone over things that are more painful. But if maybe the concern is your privacy, or, you know, having somebody see your, you know, your zones that you don't usually share with other people, I feel like if you've ever had a kid, that's, I mean, they've seen everything already. I mean, they're professionals, right? They are doctors. They are technicians. They are in this field. Like we were talking about earlier, they're looking at their equipment. They are doing their job. They're not seeing these, you know, these like nice, what's the word? They're not seeing these like nice bazongas. They're seeing a patient coming in for a procedure or for a, you know, for something that they need to do. They're not like looking at it in that way, you know?
I think we're always more self-conscious. I noticed this, I did nails for years and people would always like try to hide their hands. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. My nails look bad. I was like, I'm not looking at your nails and judging your nails. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's just like sometimes we make it worse.
Yeah, we all think that everybody's paying attention, more attention to us than they are. I feel like, you know, like everybody's going to notice whatever. Nah, girl, everybody's paying attention to themselves because everybody's insecure.
Yeah, exactly. I love now it's like you go into, like, I go into be waxed and my girl is just like, I didn't realize this was a thing, but it totally is a thing. You get to where you're so comfortable, you just like drop your drawers right there and get on the table. And she's just standing there like no big deal. So like people in this field, they see that stuff all the time. Do not die of embarrassment. Yeah. Go have your colon checked. Go have, you know, do your pap smear. Do all of the things. Because if you catch it, preventative medicine, I was explaining preventative medicine, preventative care to my son who is 24 the other day. He was like, oh, I need to go to the dentist. Should I, you know, what should I do? And I was explaining, you know, every year, insurance companies, they pay for preventative care. They pay many insurances. Check your insurance. They will pay for annual physicals. And for women, that will include many times your pap smear every year. It will include your basic blood work, all of that stuff. So maybe if you're somebody who's not familiar with it, remember, monsters live in the dark. Go flip the light on. Go read. Call your insurance company and say, hey, what types of preventative care. Some of them will even include like gym memberships or paying for an app that has fitness stuff on it. There's a lot of things like that. And so if this is something that your partner was the one who took care of this stuff for you and you are not aware of what happens with insurance, or, oh, like my son was, he's 24, so he wasn't aware that cleanings are included with your dental care a lot of times. At least once or twice a year, you go in and you have your teeth cleaned, and was explaining like, okay, if they catch this early, then you don't have to have. So for those of you that this is a newer concept, like, don't be afraid to ask questions of your insurance company, your healthcare provider. I'm not saying that this is a thing, but I remember when I was a kid, I had a lot of anxiety about going to the dentist, and I'm pretty sure that they would send my parents, because they would put something in the mail, like a pill in the mail to give me before I got there. And I've often wondered, was it like an anti-anxiety or something? So I imagine if you are really feeling anxious about going to have something like this done, talk to your healthcare provider. Maybe there is something they can suggest, or something they can help you to feel more comfortable. There may be somebody, if you are alone in this process, that they can send someone with you. So ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Yeah,
I like, you've said that before, that monsters live in the dark. And I like that, you know.
It's Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil said it. Shout out to Dr. Phil. Yeah, I love that. So, the other thing is, particularly with mammograms, usually the results are available pretty quickly. So it's not like you get it and then you feel this anticipation waiting for the results for weeks, you know? It was the next day for me. It was, it was ready and available. So that's another thing I feel like you could get hung up on, is like, oh my gosh, I do the test and then I have to wait. And then it's like, oh my gosh, what if there was something wrong, you know? But you don't have to wait that long for the results. So yeah, just go do it, man.
Ingrown toenails are worse than
having a mammogram. Oh my gosh, so much worse. I used to get those as a kid.
I still get them as an adult, so
I have had them as an adult, but I was like, I had like chronic ingrown toenails as a kid.
Yeah.
I feel like if you go to the hair salon and you get a haircut, right? So your hair's wet and then they blow dry it to style your, to just to blow dry and finish your haircut. I feel like the discomfort from the heat of the hair dryer sitting there in that chair for 20, 30 minutes is more uncomfortable than having a mammogram.
Yeah, because you're all hot and you can't move. And yeah. I mean, I feel like the thing that we've come to today is realizing that women spend a lifetime torturing themselves and paying somebody to do it. And all of these things are in preparation for having a breast exam. And so, I mean, a mammogram. And so, yeah.
Yep.
Just do it, friends. Just do it. Take your friends. Like, I feel like, okay, make it maybe a party. I'm wrong. I feel like if everybody booked them at the same time, you could all go to lunch. You could go and have this done. And then you're all together. It's just a thought of, like, take some friends. Be a support. Yeah. Make it a thing, friends. I feel like there's an extrovert out there that's listening that might get an idea. We're in June. October is coming up. So maybe if you're like, hey, I'm going to get my friends together, or I'm just going to do an open invitation to all of my friends on Facebook. Hey, y'all want to go do this? We're going to do this on a Friday. We're all going to take off. We're going to go have a really good lunch.
I love being the introvert to your extrovert, because if somebody put an invite on Facebook, I wouldn't go. Absolutely not. I need to be personally bullied into doing something.
Oh my goodness. This is funny.
I'm just saying, like, that's not something that would work to get me to do it. I already go get my mammograms. But if I were a person that was hesitant, and also my introverted personality, somebody just announcing it on Facebook, I'm going to keep scrolling. Like, I'm just going to ignore it.
All the extroverts are going to be there. We're going to be having the best time. You probably are.
Yeah. Introverts, I feel like, need like personal touch. Like, I need you to reach out to me specific, not a mass text.
Oh, okay.
Like, to me specifically and say, hey, we're going at this time. Like, you be there, you know?
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. That I'm taking a note of that. Good to know. Then I need to DM you, stalk you on the internet, and then force
it's
you to
weird.
Become a, I don't mean
it's
I'm
weird
pretty...
how that that worked. It's almost as if I'm citing history.
I know, yes.
For those, if this is your first episode, that is how Christina and I became friends. I had shared my story of losing my husband, Jason, on an Instagram page called the Hot Young Widows Club, and tagged my personal account in there. And she came to my personal account, slid into my DMs, and then just like bullied me into being her friend.
We will be friends.
I'm just kidding. This it wasn't happen. Bullying, but she did do that. She did like reach out personally, and she was very persistent, because at first I was like, cool, thanks, bye, you know, and and here we
and
are.
Here we are 2 years later talking about getting our chochos waxed on, you know, for the entire world to hear. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. So if you're just joining us for the first time, like, this is not our normal content. We hop back to episode 1 if you would like to hear how we met, our stories and all of that stuff. We recognize that people are jumping in at different spaces in our journey. But if you are just starting out, hop back, listen to episode 1, listen to episode 2, 3, if you're processing, because this might be like, what in the world? I thought this was a grief podcast. It's about grief, but we also want to laugh and have fun and remind you to take care of yourself. So that's what we're
that
all about.
That includes your annual exams. So schedule them. Do you have anything else to add?
I would just like to say thank you so much to all of our listeners. It is a pleasure to get to interact with you on social media. If you are, I have an exciting announcement before I say the next thing. We are, drumroll please. We're getting merch.
Woo,
we're working on merch.
Yay.
Woohoo! I will give you one. What is like one merch thing that we can?
I think that there's a very
sure that we will
obvious piece of merch.
I feel like that too. So, it should be super obvious to you what mm-hmm. we are getting, but I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to tease you with it and leave mm-hmm. that here. It's one way you can show support for our podcast. Another way that you can show support for our podcast, which helps to just offset things. Also, we love coffee. And so if you go on to our link, onto our page, you can show support. It's linked in our bio. It's linked other places.
Yeah, it says support this podcast on the link, and it will take yes. you to our Buy Me Thank a you. Coffee page, which is a way that you can send us donations and buy us virtual coffees.
Yes, yes. So, yeah.
And as a bonus thing that is more uncomfortable than getting a mammogram, when your thighs stick to your car seat in the 100-degree Texas summer, like the seat in your car when your thighs stick to it, that's more uncomfortable than getting a mammogram. I live it
there we
every
go.
Single day. Anyways, friends, thanks for being here. You can always leave us a review. That helps other people find us. So if you think that we are helpful or awesome, leave us a review. And whether your cup is empty, half full, or overflowing, raise it up. Here is to the craziness of life after loss. Cheers. Cheers. Thank you so much for being here with us. Please subscribe to our podcast if you found it helpful. And you can also find us on social media on Instagram at Full Cup Club Podcast. And if you search Full Cup Club Podcast on Facebook. Again, thanks friends, and we'll see you next time.